brevity, brevity, brevity. Yes, it's supposed to be a virtue. But was it yesterday at the first Twitter town meeting that President Obama delivered from the White House? Here to talk about the event is Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
You've been tweeting since way back, haven't you, Todd?
I'm an enthusiast,
I guess you could say. And Michael Walden also joins us. And Michael, I have to say that your title is 81 characters over the 140 characters. You're former speechwriter for Bill Clinton, executive director of the Brennan Center for Justice, author of My Fellow Americans, The Most Important Speeches of America's Presidents from George Washington to Barack Obama. I mean, no brevity there, but we're thrilled to have you on the program again.
Thanks. You can just leave out my name.
There we go. I actually did, and it's still 81 characters over. Michael, what is your impression of the rhetorical value of a Twitter town meeting before we go to Todd?
Well, I think to use a cliche of an earlier media era, as Marshall McLuhan said about the newfangled technology of television, in this case, the medium was the message. I think the message was to show President Obama's younger followers that he tweets, that he knows it exists, that he is going to try to use social media this time the way he did last time when he ran for president. But the message is also, I suppose, like many, many middle-aged people across the country who are told with great earnestness by their staff or their children or all of the above that they have to start tweeting, it wasn't entirely clear that he was 100% with the program.
Todd, let's talk about the challenges of keeping to the 140-character minimum in this. I'm going to play you a couple of excerpts. Vince, our director this morning, play Obama number two here.
It's not an either-or question. It's a both-and question. We have to be successful at the cutting-edge industries of the future.
Now, he actually literally got cut off there trying to begin a wonky-sounding discussion of the trade-offs in the budget debate. How successfully does the 100-character rule impede the president from actually making legitimate policy points?
Well, in this case, John, it didn't impede the president at all. And I think from the White House's standpoint, this was sort of the beauty of this format. The Twitter town hall meant that the questioners were confined to 140 characters, and the president certainly wasn't. And
as I was,
I'm following this on Twitter, of course, because it's a Twitter town hall. But if you want to hear the president, you don't follow it on Twitter. You got to follow it on television. You got to follow it on the live stream on the White House on regular old video, which is how I did it. And I was writing down in time logs as the president answered. You know, they got one answer here was 5 minutes. I got another one here that was four, another that was four and a half. So this was regular old presidential question answering in just the way he wants to. It's the questioners who can't follow up and are confined to 140 characters. Although,
no, I know.
We were just playing
a game there with the president.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, nobody's going to cut the president off. But I'm just wondering if the value of Twitter is not in the town meeting. I mean, the tweet I want to hear is from Biden in the middle of the budget negotiations today and the debt ceiling negotiations today. Biden tweeting, Cantor's freaking out, or, even Obama saying, Boehner's looking at me wrong, you know, that kind of thing. But we're never going to hear that.
You're never going to hear something from really inside the meetings. I would love to hear something from inside the meetings. You know, we had there in headlines that said Eric Cantor, you know, said that closing tax loopholes was on the table. Well, what does that really mean from inside the meetings? Is that really going to save any money? Because the answer is probably not. You know, so I'd like to hear how those discussions go down. It's true, and it's especially true at the presidential level. These guys don't tweet for themselves. And the whole essence of Twitter, which is breaking through the normal media filters of press flacks and vetted statements, the White House doesn't do that. Most politicians don't do it. Anthony Weiner did it. It got him into some trouble.
I guess
what I'm saying is Twitter has the ability at its best to cut through all of that stuff and give you a personal window onto the tweeter. In this case, there was none of that from the White House. It was them taking advantage of regular old presidential communicating.
Which brings us back to Michael Waldman, former speechwriter for Bill Clinton. You alluded to Marshall McLuhan there in your first answer, medium is the message kind of idea. I'm wondering if there is a rhetorical value to showing yourself to be vulnerable in the digital age by risking looking a little silly, and that actually reaches people in a way that a traditional speech wouldn't.
Well, I think that any president, any leader has to communicate in the way that his audience or her audience can hear them, and technology and new means of communications always shake things up and reorder how it works. And presidents before President Obama had to grapple with radio or with television. When I worked for President Clinton, as he frequently said on the first day of his term, there were 50 sites on the World Wide Web, and by the end, you know, it had exploded. There was also no real cable news media environment at the beginning of Clinton's term, and by the end there was, and it can create a cacophony, and any president has to kind of find a way to deal with it. But it does seem as if the 140 character limit and the nature of what people tweet about, it may be just a bridge too far. It may be at odds with what any president, but certainly this very serious president, feels is what they want to use. The challenge for him is not to me. It may be that if he's not good at tweeting, it isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
The bigger challenge for him has been for somebody who was so brilliantly effective as a communicator in the campaign. Why has he held back from speaking to the country in some ways in broad terms about his philosophy of government, making these broad public arguments in an effective way? He hasn't been a bad communicator, but we all thought he was going to be a great communicator, and he hasn't found it yet.
So Michael Waldman, author of My Fellow Americans, The Most Important Speeches of America's Presidents from George Washington to Barack Obama. All right, so Todd, take us out. Is it presidential to be a decent Twitterer or even a mediocre Twitterer?
Well, I'll tell you, there were lots of good questions about housing, about deficits, about war and things like that. But here's something you may not know. You know what the most commonly retweeted question was? That it never got into the town hall, but here's what Twitter really wanted to know from the president. Would you consider legalizing marijuana to increase revenue and save tax dollars?
There you go.
So not an unimportant issue, but the White House isn't going to talk about that. And that shows you the difference between Twitter and what the White House wants to talk about.
But it confirms that they're reaching the young audience.
Well, they're reaching them, but it's not necessarily what they want to be talking about when they go above board. So is all the subject matter of Twitter actually presidential? Doesn't look like it.
Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent. Although anybody who tweeted that was probably not expecting an answer. Also, Michael Waldman, the director of the Brennan Center for Justice. Thanks so much, Michael and Todd.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.